You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, O God, Reform Our Nation and Us. And now here is Dr. Schultz.
This Sunday is a day of celebration in thousands of churches throughout the United States and Canada and many other countries. These celebrations are conducted in memory of October 30th, 1517, nearly 500 years ago, when an unknown monk nailed the 95 Theses to a door of a church in Wittenberg, Germany. Little did Martin Luther know that his nailing and his pounding with his hammer would call for a reform that would echo in every century. Martin Luther's call for discussion and reform was intended to be local. Some leaders, however, and many, many lay people were so deeply moved and greatly excited by the need for reform that these thesis statements were quickly reprinted and immediately distributed far and wide throughout most of Europe of that day. The debates and discussions and the reforms that followed brought about the greatest reformation in this millennium. Consequently, this reform movement ranks in importance with another of the greatest reform movements described in the Bible. This is a story recorded in 2 Kings chapter 22, which took place nearly 3,000 years ago. This was the reform in Judah under the righteous king Josiah. Josiah's godless father Manasseh had made an absolute mess out of society, especially in morality and religion. Instead of worshiping the true God of the Bible, Manasseh introduced idols and cults and even devil worship. His mind was so given over to evil that Manasseh sacrificed his own children by burning them in fire. Into this broken culture of false gods, idols, cult worship, and demonology, there was born a baby who would become just the opposite of evil Manasseh, Manasseh's son, Josiah. Manasseh had been the most ungodly. The newborn Josiah, however, would become the most famous man of reform in the same history of the same country of ancient Judah. Josiah began reigning as the king of Judah at the age of 8 years, and when he was 16, he began to seek the Lord. And at the age of 26, a great event took place. King Josiah had ordered that the temple be repaired. And as the builders went to work, and when the high priest Hilkiah began poking around in some of the old books and other articles that had been so long neglected in the temple, then Hilkiah the high priest suddenly said, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. This was the Bible. For years the Bible had not been read in the temple. After years of spiritual neglect, God's holy word would now be once again read and preached and taught to the people. Finding the holy book was exciting, but when it was read to King Josiah, the results were astounding. The Bible tells us that when the king heard the words of the rediscovered book of the law, he tore his clothes. Josiah was ashamed. He was angry and even fear-filled. The society in Josiah's day had drifted far, far away from what the true God of the Bible expected. And when King Josiah heard the will of God, he was immediately filled with repentance and fear of what God's judgment upon his nation might soon become. Today in 1994, it must be our daily prayer that our leaders and the citizens of our land would also rediscover once again what God is saying to us in his holy word. And then, like in Josiah's day, we need to pray that the Bible would not only be rediscovered, but that it would be read and taken very, very seriously. Just imagine what would happen in our nation regarding the pro-abortion movement if we, like King Josiah, were to take God's word seriously. Thou shalt not kill, says the Lord. And this applies directly to abortion and all those who promote this murderous act. And what would happen in our society if the following words of the Bible were to be printed on the front pages of every major magazine? Be not deceived, the Bible says, for neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And what would happen in our society if we began to read the Bible and to learn that gossip about others is one of the most serious sins in the sight of God? And what would happen even among some more so-called comfortable Christians if we would take the words of Jesus seriously, that only those will be in heaven who have helped others by giving them a cup of cold water or visiting them in prison? Indeed, no matter who we are, when we take the Bible, the Word of God, seriously, it begins to affect us. The law of God cuts deeply, and then we understand why King Josiah, when he heard God's law, he tore his clothes. Just as in Josiah's day, God's Word is a living power that convicts people of our sin. And God's Word is an almighty power of cleansing, of reform, of forgiveness, and of life. For this reason, our daily prayer ought to be, O Lord, we pray, reform our nation and begin with us. In Hebrews chapter 4, we read that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It has the power to pierce as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow. God's Word, the Bible says, is able to judge even the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. And it came about, the Bible says, that when King Josiah heard the words of the book of the law, then he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and several other individuals. He said to them, "Go, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all of Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us, because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book, and to do according to all that is written concerning us." Then the Bible tells us Hilkiah the priest and his delegation went to Huldah the prophetess. She lived in Jerusalem. They spoke to her. She said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, tell Josiah, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring evil on this place and upon its inhabitants, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands. Therefore my wrath, the Lord said to Josiah, burns against this place, and it shall not be quenched." Josiah understood that God's most severe judgment was to come upon his nation, and yet in all the judgment and suffering that was sure to come, God was also offering his forgiveness and hope unto all those who would listen, unto all who would repent and return to the Lord. The prophetess Huldah said, "Regarding the words of the law and judgment which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I, says the Lord, truly have heard you." And so today in 1994, nobody needs to explain in detail the serious trouble that we are in, both with ourselves and with God. And no one needs to remind us that we deserve the judgment of God, both as a nation and as individuals. God, however, is also a God of grace, the message of forgiveness and hope, this invitation for reconciliation, which God spoke to Josiah nearly 3,000 years ago, is being spoken unto our nation today. God is a God of long-suffering, a God of love and mercy and forgiveness. However, unless you and I make some very major and fundamental changes in our lives, we will surely experience God's most severe judgment. And unless our nation wakes up, and unless our nation repents and steers a new course, it also will end up the way Judah did, and our nation will be destroyed.
Biblical scholars have always been amazed at how rapidly the godly culture in King Manasseh's day was destroyed by false religions, idols, and demon worship. But let's make no mistake about this. This is still happening in our century. For example, after World War II, Germany was divided into East Germany and West Germany. An atheistic communist government was forced upon the East Germans. These atheistic communists intended to undermine and to destroy the Christian faith. Major church rituals and days of celebration of the faith were reoriented. They were renamed and given a pagan meaning and purpose. For example, confirmation, a time when many youth, especially in their early teens, have traditionally been given the privilege of publicly proclaiming their faith, this special occasion was fundamentally altered by the atheistic communists into a time to declare allegiance not unto God, but to the nation. At first, of course, this change was vigorously opposed by the Christians. However, after nearly 50 years of oppressive brainwashing, one can now see that the endless efforts of this atheistic communistic movement surely had an impact. And this is also what the New York Times reported on July 11, 1994. In a half-page article, the Times explained that the atheistic brainwashing of the Soviet communists in East Germany was so effective that even after the atheistic government collapsed several years ago and the secular substitute for Christian confirmation was no longer mandatory, still in many places, over half of the youth continue to request these pagan rituals, and they continue to sign up for them eagerly. It is a very clear and sober warning for us today. Unless there is a decisive change of attitude in our own nation, our society will soon go the way of nearly 20 other past civilizations, those that have collapsed from within and then totally disappeared. When you and I hear the true word of God, that word which always condemns sin and reminds us that God's judgment is coming soon, our immediate reaction is to look the other way and to point the finger at somebody else. Today, however, in His Word, God is speaking to us, to you, and to me. And God is asking you to examine your life, and He is urging you to be honest and to confess unto Him all of your public and your private failures. This same God is offering you a second chance. If in sincere repentance and faith you pray to God and cry out for His mercy, God will hear you, just as He heard King Josiah. When King Josiah heard God's law, he tore his clothes. This was a sign of sincere repentance. Josiah was begging God's mercy. And in our text for today, we read that God heard Josiah's plea. God had mercy upon Josiah's repentant heart. Judgment was still to come. Josiah's country, the land of Judah, was still doomed to terrible judgment. In fact, Josiah himself was killed, but his soul was saved by the grace of God forever. I am appealing unto you, examine your life and confess your sins unto your gracious God. Look to Jesus alone for forgiveness and salvation. Do as Josiah did. Call upon the name of the Lord. He will surely hear you. He will surely save you, just as He saved Josiah. God grant this to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message brought to you by Lutheran Hour Ministries.